Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And so this is the first since you've been back in America.
I know. I'm delighted to be back in the USA. I had a marvelous trip across the pond, and there's a lot of neat things over there to see and do. But it also feels great to be back home, and I feel so blessed to be living in this country, man. It's there's a lot of neat things over there, but I'm glad to be here. And I came back to a studio full. This is going to be a lot of fun. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, President and CEO with Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, Ms. Stacy Key. How are
you? I am well, and thank you so much. You said that just flowed off, Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council. I love it. Feel like home.
Well, Stacy, can you share a little bit for the listeners who aren't familiar with the program?
Yes. So, as mentioned, I head up a phenomenal organization, GMSDC, and as part of that organization, we have a mentoring program called the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection. And that program is focusing on helping small businesses grow. So that's what we do every single day. We get the distinct honor of growing companies, creating jobs, creating economic wealth in the communities throughout this great state.
So now, who are the mentors and who are the protégés typically? What does it look like?
Well, basically, we're partnered, a small business is partnered with a corporation, corporations that we all know and love here in Georgia, your SunTrust, your UPS, your Coca-Cola company, your Georgia Power. So those companies are very focused on helping small businesses grow. And so they're partnered for a year. And during that time, they're focused on strategic long-term growth, not short-term transactions, but on long-term growth and making sure that business is able to thrive and grow clearly beyond the year, but for decades to come.
And then so the way that it works are that companies, enterprise-level companies, raise their hand and say, I'd like to participate in this?
Absolutely. Companies that are very interested in helping small businesses raise their hand. And, you know, I would fail to mention my strategic partner in this is the Georgia Department of Economic Development, who is very committed and focused on helping small businesses grow. And, yes, Georgia Department of Economic Development and other organizations committed to helping small businesses grow. They raise their hand and say, I want to be a part of that. And we do it through platforms and sharing like Business Radio X and making sure people know the story and they know how to get involved.
All right. So let's bring Ryan Walter on. Welcome, Ryan.
Good morning.
Tell us about your work with the Georgia Department of Economic Development.
Well, we've been involved in small businesses for decades, working with the Minority Supplier Council and others across the state. Our small business team, last year we worked with over 1,500 different small businesses and community contacts throughout the state, working to help make sure that communities are able to create an entrepreneurial ecosystem that's going to benefit their community again and help identify not only mentors but also participants in the mentor protege program as well.
Now, Stacy, how are you defining minority? Who qualifies as a minority business?
This program is for all small businesses. Any business, not minority businesses alone, but small businesses throughout the state can participate. And so as we're looking at this, we're getting ready to kick off the process for we're nominating companies for the 2020 program. Mm-hmm. So any small business in this state can participate. If I'm a small business and we're focused on rural, we're looking at rural companies. We're looking at companies on the Beltline. So we're doing a nice mix of various kinds of
the
companies.
The Beltline's rural?
Well, the Beltline's not rural, but we have Beltline and we have rural. It could be in Macon. It could be in...
It's statewide.
Yeah, it's statewide. Uh-huh.
Right.
That's
We've
the
had
point.
Some phenomenal protégés come out of South Georgia and rural Georgia as well that have done some phenomenal things across the state.
And then, Stacy, can you share any story of a protege company that was able to leverage this experience and take it to the next level?
Well, actually, as part of this, we're going to be talking to Walter Griggs of SquarePak. He has got a phenomenal story. He can share his story in his own words of how the program has helped him. And again, this year we're celebrating 20 years. 20 years ago, then-Governor Roy Barnes had the vision for this program. So 20 years this year, so we're going to be telling a lot of those stories. stories, but Walter will share his story in his own words.
So okay, a little later on. Yeah. Now, this is one of those programs that have bipartisan support. This is a everybody kind of is on board with this, right?
Absolutely. And Mariah, yes.
So, and a lot of people, you know, if you talk about small business, a lot of people, you know, want to know what the impact of small business is within the state of Georgia. And it depends, I guess, on which definition you look at as far as what a small business actually is. Mm-hmm. If you look at the federal definition, 99% of the businesses within the state are considered to be small. So that's a phenomenal number, you know, from that standpoint. But if you break the numbers down even a little bit further, if you look at 76% of the businesses that have employees within the state of Georgia, they employ less than 10 people.
So 76% employ less than 10.
Correct.
Wow.
So especially when we look at businesses, you know, in the metro areas and the rural areas, big cities, small communities, you know, small businesses and those very small businesses really make up the lion's share of the businesses that we have within the state of Georgia, the entities that we have within the state. So there's a tremendous impact that those small businesses have across the state, and what can we do to help encourage as many of those begin to that application process to go into the Mentor Protege program so they can, again, receive the benefits of working with some of our larger companies we have within the state of Georgia that are just household names.
Now, is this a situation where you have, like, what do you need more of? Do you need more enterprise or do you need more small businesses to participate?
I'd say we need the small businesses to participate.
Right. So this is one of those things where the enterprises are raising their hand and say, hey, we're open to this. And then it's just the lack of awareness for the small business person to even say, hey, put my name in the hat.
Exactly. You know, even though Stacy and I are out every day talking about the different programs that we have at the state of Georgia, whether it's our tax credit programs, sales and use tax exemption programs that companies may be able to take advantage of, great mentor protege programs, and others across the state. Even though we're out doing this every day, it's still hard to try to reach all 159 counties. So mm-hmm. certainly being able to use mouthpieces like this and others to be able to get the word out and be able to get more people interested, more people excited, especially from all corners of the state, not just the metro Atlanta right. area, you know, certainly is going to help boost and strengthen our small business community across the state.
So now what is kind of what do you have to do as a small business to be eligible to participate?
First of all, I think Reggie, you can talk to some of this as well. Reggie Fams is the interim program director for the Mentor Protege Connection. But Reggie, you can talk to some of the pieces to the program.
Okay. Thank you all again for having us this morning to speak about the Mentor Protege program. The program requirements are a business must be within the state of Georgia. They have to have to $30 million in annual revenue.
So they have to have $1 million minimum.
Yes, because what we want to make sure is that we are pairing these companies that they can scale up. Mm-hmm. And that's also, it's going to be a trickle down effect, so to speak, because those companies will eventually need smaller businesses that they can go in right. and actually utilize their services as well. So it can definitely benefit, I think, the entire state. One of the other things that the companies must have is three W-2 full-time employees.
Mm-hmm. So now, Ryan, you mentioned that 76% of the businesses are under 10. How many businesses kind of meet that criteria of $1 million?
I haven't looked at the revenue numbers, but I would imagine that's a pretty fair number of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it doesn't take, I guess, depending on your service, you know, you may be able to hit that $1 million threshold pretty quickly, you know, mm-hmm. depending on if you're consulting, you know, manufacturing, right. et cetera. So I don't think that would necessarily be an impediment to a company to say, well, I'm not there yet, mm-hmm. you know, but it also gives them something to strive for and to try to reach if they're not there yet.
Right. So now, Reggie, what is your biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge is actually just getting out in the communities and then having those companies to be informed and know, hey, we have these programs available to you. And then going out to your local chambers, your municipalities, and have them to go ahead and nominate you.
You can't self-nominate. You've got to be nominated by an organization, a chamber, the Georgia Department of Economic Development, a corporation. So it's not a self-nomination.
Mm-hmm. So you have to get on the radar of one of those organizations.
Absolutely.
You have to be
yes.
active in one of those in order to
right.
kind of be eligible. That's part of it, too.
That is correct.
So is that the biggest challenge for the companies to kind of make those relationships so that they get nominated?
Yeah. Once you are paired with those companies, we do see the efforts. We do know that our corporations are very heavily involved with the growth of these companies. I was with the Mentor Protege program as the operations manager prior to this role. And one of the things that I did see was the growth of a lot of the smaller companies, where even with some of our more successful companies, now they're coming back and saying, hey, we want to utilize the services of some of the other small businesses within the state. So that's definitely a good thing.
Now, how many pairings have you had? Since, do you know how many?
We've had 132 proteges come through our program since it's been handed off from the Georgia Department of Economic Development.
Wow.
So 132 companies. I think that represents about 10 to 15,000 employees. Because again, some clearly have more than three.
Sure.
I think the last numbers I saw in terms of the program was somewhere ups or I don't even want to quote those numbers actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the industries that this touches? Is there kind of a sweet spot?
All industries. It touches everything from
manufacturing, food, distribution,
construction,
service. It runs the gamut.
So it's really kind of agnostic when it comes to industry. It can be any industry.
Correct.
Right.
And then for you right now, you decided to bring some people in to kind of illustrate this, right?
Absolutely. We've got one of our stellar mentors, Adam Moore from SunTrust. We've got one of our proteges who is rock star, Walter Griggs from SquarePak. And so they're going to talk about the journey and their experience as part of the program, which is really key.
Okay, so then...
All right, so let's get those folks up. Lee, I don't know that we, when we're thinking about our own growth at Business Radio X, I don't know that any of this stuff has been on our radar like it ought to be. I mean, we need to get the word out about these opportunities more than we have been, I think. And it's not all on Stacy and them. I think as part of the local business media, we need to make a real effort to start sharing these stories more often.
Right. Is that something you see, Reggie, that there's a lot of people out there that are just not even aware, like that this could really take their business to another level if they participated? And it must be kind of frustrating in some ways that you have this really valuable resource and that people are just not even aware that they can take advantage of it.
Well, being a part of the small business community, what I've seen is, again, a lack of information, so to speak. And a lot of times just CEOs or high-level executives within smaller companies, they tend to be the janitor and the CEO. And so you're so busy out trying to garner business and bring in revenue that you may not have time to participate in these programs. And so what we've tried to do and made an attempt to do is not only get them informed about the programs that are available, but also make it where it's feasible for them to attend the meetings and give them different opportunities to talk to each other outside of even when we're meeting with them, because that's important, because the lack of time is one of the reasons why they typically can't have those interactions with those corporations.
So, Stan, let's bring on the dream team here.
All right. All right, Walter, I heard a little advanced press on you that you've accomplished quite a bit. You are with SquarePak. Tell us a little bit about what you're out there trying to do
and
for
you're,
folks.
You're the protege. You got to lean into that mic like a rock star.
Oh, it's all good. It's all
good.
My name is Walter Griggs. I'm the founder and CEO of SquarePak. At SquarePak, we help companies become more efficient. We provide green solutions for the material handling space. We work within the automotive space, the communication space. They built a beautiful stadium here in downtown. We had a lot to do. We designed all the warehouse space. We actually built a catalog around material handling, dealing with the stadium industries. When we first entered the Georgia Mentor Protege in 2016, where we were mentored by Georgia Power, which was a great experience. Being intimate with these small companies allows you to see things that can be scaled up quite quickly. So when we see a challenge that a Georgia Power is facing, we know if we're able to solve that problem, that's a problem we can scale up through all the power companies throughout this country, if not throughout the world. So it gives us insight into very intimate situations that if you have the wherewithal, you can really scale your business up.
And we also have with us today somebody from the mentor side of this equation, Adam Moore with SunTrust. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. Thank you very much for having us on today.
I've heard of them.
You've heard of SunTrust?
Yeah.
In fact, I think they own most of my house still at the moment.
Have a reputation.
Tell us about your work with this and why it's important for SunTrust to get involved with an organization like this.
It's very important for us to get involved in an organization like this. I am part of our supplier diversity program. So our sole mission is to research, get to know, and bring up small companies that we can actually feed into the financial services pipeline. So for us to be able to promote and bring on board small and diverse businesses into the bank's supplier ecosystem, we see that there's a necessity to make sure that they're prepared to come on board and provide these services, whatever we might need. So finding companies like SquarePak and some of the other ones and making sure that they understand what it is to be parts of different types of industries, that they're ready to take on those challenges. They understand what the risk reward is to doing business with a Fortune 500, Fortune 100, Fortune 50. Everybody who starts a new business is hungry. They're ready to go right there and then. That's what I love about this community. But they wake up and they're like, we want to take on a SunTrust. We want to take on a Delta. We want to take on a Home Depot. And I'm like, that sounds great. Do you know what it's really like to do business with us? Have you really looked at some of our stuff?
Right, it sounds good on paper.
It looks great on paper until you start to walk in a negotiation room. You look at our panel of lawyers and specialists.
Right,
and
it's a more complex sale than they've experienced previously.
Exactly, exactly. So just making sure they're prepared for that. And if they're not, explain to them why and then what put in steps to get them there, mm-hmm. right? You never put up a roadblock and say, you're never going to get there. Just don't.
Right.
Right. But it's like, how do we get you there? I see the potential. Let's get your potential there and let's take the steps.
Now, is that part of your role? Did SunTrust say, you know what, we can't just say, hey, we're open to this and let people just kind of flow in here if they're not really prepared to help us.
Right.
We can't help them if they're not prepared.
Correct. That's exactly my role. You know, as a bank, we're very much committed to financial responsibility and making sure that everybody can make the most of what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And so as part of that community outreach, as part of just being a good corporate citizen, we recognize that we need to take a proactive step and put in place the people and the programs to help build up these businesses so that they're ready. Give them that information, give them that time, and it just makes sense, right? If you have a good, strong ecosystem of small and diverse businesses, that helps everybody down the line.
So now when you decided to get involved in this program, mm-hmm. did you have that kind of learning curve? At first you said, hey, let's just open the doors. And then you were like, hey, whoa, let's pump the brakes here because we're getting people that aren't prepared. And then we have to put these kind of steps in place to help them be more successful.
So, you know, what's really interesting is how I came. I couldn't have defined for you supplier diversity about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually negotiating technology deals for the bank. Our supplier diversity manager came up to me and said, hey, I'd love for you to come to this event. I need you to be able to talk technology because I have no idea what these people are saying to me. It's like, that sounds great. I showed up and I was all of a sudden introduced to all these small businesses, and these guys were hungry. I mean, they wanted that contract. They wanted to do whatever it had to take to
right.
please
well,
you. They were ready to go.
As a small business owner, you see this. This is kind of what you're aiming at.
Right.
This solves a lot of problems.
Yep.
I'll get one of these, you know, I'm sure that Walter, you were like, hey, if I can get Georgia Power, this is
yeah.
takes me to another level. This
Without
is game on now, right?
Yep.
I can really help some people. So you got a big target on your back from that standpoint.
And I really
then,
do.
So then you have to really do a good job of vetting and educating to make sure that you're getting the right fits in there, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Because in my position, I'm actually an advocate for small and diverse businesses inside the bank. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The big companies, the Fortune 50s, they have enough money to have people in that bank constantly, day in, day out, day in, day out. SquarePak doesn't have that
right.
advertising budget.
Like right. they're not even on the radar of
no.
your radar.
No.
Right.
No. Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's our job in supplier diversity to make sure that our lines of businesses know who's out there.
Right.
And we're constantly raising our hands or, you know, trying to run a blocking defense saying, hey, you got an RFP, that's great. Let's just get this one company over here that I've been talking to for a year. And that's what people have to realize. A lot of my job is just relational development. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll get to know SquarePak and everything that they can do. I'll have had a relationship for them for probably around a year before I bring them up to an LOB because I want to make sure I've vetted them.
Right.
Right. And that when so then they have success as soon as they walk in. Because I also don't want to put SquarePak in a position where they're not going to stand a chance.
Right.
And now I've kind of squandered their one opportunity to come into a firm of our size. So there's a lot of responsibility on both sides, both for the small and diverse business to make sure they're ready to go, and then for the supplier diversity side of the house to make sure that we've kind of tilled that garden so that they're
– Now, are you like Reggie was saying earlier, that there's not a lot of awareness out there. Do you have an, like, are you like, man, I wish there were more small businesses that would raise their hand? Or are you like, okay, there's too many, I can't even keep track of them all?
It's interesting. It all depends on the commodity we're talking about, right? And so I think we could have another entire discussion on barrier of entry, right? And who does what in what industry. I can find for you a ton of consulting firms, right? It's easy to do. You and I both have specialties, right?
Right. I just got laid off. I'm now a consultant.
Right. I'm now a consultant. I have right. I have my own personal intelligence, my own story, right? I can go and help other people, right? I can consult. I can do business coaching. I can't find some very high-end security people, right? And that is like a
security people.
Like for information security. So think about
like cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity is huge. All of these different kind of blockchains and that type of stuff coming up, that is a huge industry for small and diverse businesses to start looking into. There's security terms that my security group throws at me and I didn't even know. I didn't even know you could rehydrate things. I'm still trying to figure out what that is. You know, but I talked to some others and they're like, oh, yeah, we got five people on the bench. You know, so it's trying to find that niche. Mm-hmm. Right. And really kind of understanding what it is.
And then so and that ebbs and flows, right?
Like it ebbs and flows.
Yeah. Like sometimes you're like, oh, I'm good now. I don't know if cybersecurity is a good example of that because people are hungry for that across. Right. It's not just you. It's that's just across the planet.
Yep.
But in certain things, oh, now I got enough. So I'm good here for a little bit. But here now I'm short.
Yep.
And so you're trying to keep your pulse on, you know, your finger on the pulse of all the kind of the opportunities out there. Who are the players?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing too, is that's a huge responsibility of mine, is to understand where and to understand where my LOBs are going to be in 5 years or what they're looking for in the next 36 months.
So you got to get ahead of things.
I got to get ahead of things. And that's one of the key pieces of advice as a mentor that I give is if you have a target company, if SunTrust is your target company, you need to know more about my company than I do. Right? I tell people all the time, if I'm running a trade show, don't rock up to me. Go, hey, I'm so-and-so. I love to do business with SunTrust. Well, what do I got to do to get a contract? And I'm like, I don't know. I stare at him. But if you walk up to me and say, hey, SunTrust, you don't know this, but you've got a problem, and your problem's X, and X should keep you up at night. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me more. Tell me why I should be X. Why does X keep me up? Now, explain to me how you're going to help take X away from my list of worries. Now you've got a sale. Now you've got a reason for me to have a continued conversation with you, right? That's the whole thing. You can't just walk up and expect, you know, to extend your hand and, you know, dress sharp and get a contract. I mean, you've got to make me want to continue that relationship.
It can't be all sizzle. There has to be some steak in there.
Right. Most definitely. Most definitely.
And then so that's a great piece of advice for our listeners. You got to go to these enterprise level people with some solution that's compelling to them. It's not just because you're good at it. Right. That's not compelling enough.
Not at all. I mean, I was literally at a trade show and behind me it says SunTrust Banks. I have a person walk up and go, SunTrust, what do you all do?
I think they self-selected out.
Yeah, they did.
Walter, you didn't lead with that when you went into this?
You knew they were a bank.
Hey, I did my research. You know, when we first entered the Mentor Protege program, we were really fledglings. So they took us and helped us deconstruct our business and then reconstruct it again.
When you say they, who is they?
They is the entire staff from the Mentor Protege program. One of the main goals that they always try to put, when I say they, I'm talking about the staff, Reggie, Miss Wendy, Stacy. I'm talking about the staff of the Mentor Protege when I'm
not,
saying
not the enterprise.
A lot of the direction comes from and comes down. So the direction of the program is going to come from the principals, and then the enterprises are going to follow through. So, for example, you know, we landed Georgia Power, which is a very big deal.
Absolutely.
And we had to understand how to do business with Georgia Power. I mean, there's a payment term that you have to be comfortable with. There's certifications that you have to have. There's clearances that you may need depending on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And depending on what stage of the game you're in, depending on what you need to do in order to be successful.
And then if you don't check one of those boxes, you're out without even knowing it.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's easy to get disqualified for something,
And that's the thing, from an enterprise level, it's easier to say no than yes, right? So everything is built around that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when you start talking about like risk compliance, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to stand in a corner, now talk me out of it.
Right.
Without a doubt. And then in defense of the enterprises, they're risking their job when they give someone new a chance. And it's not like when I come up, no one else in the world does this. There may be six or seven other companies that do the exact same thing. Unlike us in manufacturing, where we set ourselves apart, there's not many minority manufacturers. So we're in a space that's wide open and that's ready for growth. But other spaces like consulting and different things of that nature, they're
to where the that's hill. More of a commodity.
That's more of a commodity,
right?
Where we're making custom items.
Now, is that another piece of advice, Adam, in terms of you have to kind of set yourself up and maybe kind of create this blue ocean opportunity for yourself, mm-hmm. like create. Position yourself as unique and kind of the only person that can deliver this specific thing?
Yeah, I mean, most definitely, because as we just said, I mean, you can always find two or three people that are playing in that same space, right? But you have to show not only why is your product or service different, why is it a culture fit? And that's kind of the biggest thing that I'm seeing right now, right?
The culture fit. That's an important component,
it's a
too.
Huge
and that,
component.
And then that's probably something a business person is going to not think as
right.
important. They think, look, I can do the job. I am skilled to do this
yep.
activity, and that's just a portion of it.
Yeah, that's the smallest part. That's the first
table stakes.
That is if you're coming to talk to me, I assume you do that.
Right.
Right. That's an assumption I've already made. Now talk to me about more.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So I'll give you a great idea is everybody's into AI and bots and how are we going to implement them? How are we going to use them? That type of thing. Coming up to me and saying you can do a chatbot, I already assume you can do that. If you say I've got AI and deep learning, I assume chatbots off the table. That's like, you know, the connectors of AI right now. Right. So what do you have beyond that? Show me what you really got in the deep learning space.
And then they got to really understand the pain. Like you mentioned, the pain is you don't know of all of the players in these kind of niche industries that you need to know.
Right. And
that's a pain.
That's a huge pain. And I think that's probably one of those next level down kind of when we're starting to talk best of class and how you really start to woo these bigger companies is explain to me how you are my new subject matter expert.
Right.
Right. Because we don't know what we don't know. And as a larger firm, we are aware of that and we know that's a risk. We know we have blind sides. Right. And we don't know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can come and help me understand where those blind sides are and really kind of help me put in that world class system and explain that to me, that is a non tangible that we really start to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, if you don't mind, I can
go ahead, jump in there.
Speak to kind of how we help the mentors and the proteges get together.
All right, because you're kind of the connector amongst
correct.
Right?
So what
keeps us together.
What we do is when we're doing the process, we have the nomination process, right? So that's kind of our way to vet and see who actually is eligible for the program. And this is, again, a way to keep those that are not ready before the mentors, and then also being able to see what else is out there in the field as it relates to
and they
the
may
proteges.
Not be ready today, but they might
but
be
they
ready
may
tomorrow.
Be, right, and so we keep a log of those and kind of keep track of those businesses moving forward. The second part of that is what we do is a Shark Tank experience, so to speak. And so what we do is we bring those protege applicants in to the room with all of these major corporations and actually give them an opportunity to speak before them so they can kind of differentiate themselves from all the other companies that may look like them. And that's where we go back into the mentors and say, hey, which companies do you like? And also ask the proteges that same question, which mentors would you like to be paired with? And then we do a selection process and then we narrow it down and get the best fit. That way everybody is getting kind of what they want from the program. You get possibly to work with a company that you want to work with. And from the mentoring side, they see potential in a company to scale and grow.
So now, Walter, can you talk about kind of before the program and after the program? Like what changed in your organization once you became part of this?
Very good question. A lot changed. It helped us with our direction. It helped us become more focused. I mean, they have specific learning modules dealing with finance, marketing, so you're able to fill in any gaps that you may have. You know, I founded this company back in 2013. I'm not a genius. I just had an idea. And as I'm the janitor and the accountant, and then my wife came on board to start helping me, and we started growing together and started building up. But, you know, for the first couple of years, it was just us trying to make it work. So when you join, when you you know, bootstrap yourself up to $1 million, and then you join an organization and say, hey, you guys are close, but if you tweak just a little bit, you guys can scale up like crazy. And that's what happens. They give you the little tweaks that help you become successful. So it started with the GMSDC. We won Supplier of the Year. Then that transfers us over to the Mentor Protege. From the Mentor Protege, Tuck School of Business. From that, present today, I'm in a second round, an Accelerate program, which is actually all the alumni of the Mentor Protege. So I'm back doing another session of it. And we're actually paired right now with West Rock, ADCO, and Lockheed Martin, with three great mentors that we have access to that all have material handling processes that we can be impactful in. So not only is it a great organization, we're paired with companies that we can be impactful in. And I think that's the beauty.
Now, Adam, from your standpoint, how important is coachability? Like, they have to be kind of nimble, yeah. right? They can't just be like, hey, I got this figured out. Just shut up and listen to me. I know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah, that's not called mentoring. I think that's another term for that. That's the whole thing, too, is, right? And if you're going to enter into a mentor-protege relationship, as the protege, you have to be ready to have this thing that you've created and loved and cherished to be scrutinized, torn apart, and pretty much downgraded to a point you're like, I paid money to do this?
I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm confused. Help me out to understand. But all the mentors, as part of the Georgia Mentor Project Connection, are committed to see the small and diverse businesses thrive and excel. So we take very seriously that charge given to us, right? And so we come at it 100% authentic, transparent, and we will sit there and go, we need to change here, here, and here, and here. What Walter said,
you're not saying, though, that they have to do this. They just have to do this if they want to work with you. Right? 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 That's a choice they're making.
I have a master service agreement I kind of dangle in front of them to get them to change their ways. No. I think the biggest challenge for a mentor is to realize that when you're mentoring a company, you're not changing that company into the vision of how you, the mentor, would run the company. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is, as the mentor, is you're making sure that company is the best version of that company with that CEO and that owner's vision that it can be, and you're just there to tweak the edges and dress it up. Mm-hmm. That's all we're trying to do. Walter's story is the same thing I hear from everybody. We call the CEO position the chief everything officer.
Right.
Right? Because they're doing everything. And we sit there and go, well, you can't run a company doing it that way. I mean, that's one of the very first things we tackle. It's like, how are you dividing up responsibilities? How are you, you know, giving yourself some time to sit back and think about what is my 5-year plan? How am I going to execute a 5-year plan? Because if you're, you know, cleaning the kitchen and wiping out the microwave, you can't really sit there and seriously think about what your 5-year plan is.
And you can't serve SunTrust, because SunTrust needs somebody that's going to solve this problem.
Right.
And I got to count on you. And if I can't count on you and your team,
right.
Because, it's not just you.
Right, because if you have a strategic account, like a SunTrust or Home Depot or a Delta, right, and they call up on the phone, they're like, we have an issue, and you're stuck scrubbing a microwave, you know,
right.
You got to get
That's
in the car
the
and you got to get
downtown.
Right. No, it's not. You've got to get downtown. First of all, you better know that SunTrust has got an issue before SunTrust calls you on the phone. Right, that's the issue. And if you're scrubbing the microwave, you can't figure out what that issue is first, right? Beat us to the punch.
It's not a job. It's a business. There's a difference.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's a huge difference. You know, it's not a 9-to-5. You know, I get to go home, take my SunTrust pin off, and I'm done. The bank will be there for me in the morning. Walter's got to think about SquarePak 24/7 by 365. I mean, he really does. You know, and I fully respect that. So when I partner up with a SquarePak or anybody else like that, I'm like, I am now a resource for this company and I make myself available to my proteges 24/7. They all have my cell phone.
Right.
I still text with several of them. I mean, get them prepped, that type of thing. So there's a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of reward for us too as mentors to be part of the program.
Now, what's some of those rewards? I mean, they're probably those kind of softer moments, right? Where they get a win. And they could now buy more equipment or grow or hire more people.
Exactly. All of that. To see them in the moment of realization, right? Every company I've mentored so far has a moment of realization where you've worked through difficult subjects after subject after subject. At the end, they're like, oh, I see it now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They see that overarching theme that you've been trying to put together with their company.
Where the dots are now connected. You know?
Right.
And that's a challenge, and I'm sure, Walter, you'll agree. Like, the mouse has to get the cheese sometimes, right?
Without a doubt.
You know, at some point, you're battling and grinding every single day, and you're like, is there a light at the end of this tunnel, or is this just going to go on forever? At some point, you got to get the cheese. When did that moment happen for you? When did you realize, like, hey, we got something here. This thing is going to work. I just got to do, you know, this kind of work.
When I started to understand the concept between transaction, no business, and relationship business, mm-hmm. That's really what it was. Because upon inception, we were just trying to get it. We would do anything, whatever, need the floor mop. But no, we are experts. We are SMEs in material handling. That's what we need to focus in. And, you know, when you're first start, you do anything. You know, it's paint, whatever it is. But you have to stay focused. And I think that's when the moment of clarity is, when you know you have to be laser focused, have a process in place. Because when you do get to sit down, you have to understand the terms. You have to understand that master service agreement that Adam's dangling. You have to understand that.
And it might look good, but it may not be a right fit, right?
Without a doubt. Because at some parts of those master service agreements, in layman's terms, you have to make me whole. And what that means, if you cannot deliver what you say you're going to deliver in the time you're going to deliver, then you have to find an alternative means for me to do what I need to do. So whatever financial responsibility or risk that puts upon you, you have to have a backup plan in place when you're dealing with these large mm-hmm. corporations. So you have your plan and you have your backup plan. Now, prayerfully, your plan will go as planned, mm-hmm. and you won't have to result to plan B. But one thing that I've always learned from the program is to diversify my business. Can't rely on one company. You need several companies in order to have a healthy mix. And also that transition between transactional relationships and relationship-based business. I think those are the two biggest keys for SquarePad.
Now, Reggie, you want to add something to that in terms of kind of solidifying the relationship between the mentor and the protege and how they each can get the most out of it?
Well, one of the things that has to happen is the assessment tool that we use. So in the beginning, once they are actually selected to be paired with a mentor, the company goes through an assessment, and the mentor actually goes back and looks at that assessment and keys in on three major areas where the company may have issues, or we can make that little tweak. And so those areas we monitor with different sessions where we go back and say, hey, did you all meet outside of here? What did you discover about the company? What changes did you decide to make? And then as we're going along at the end of the program, we'll go back and take a look and say, were we successful in those? And it's not just to build the relationship for that 12 months, but for years to come. The 12 months is more for it to be where you have guidance and kind of a structured setting.
Right, you're laying the foundation.
Right, and then after that, we want you to continue that relationship, and that's why we have the alumni class. That's why we have the Accelerate programs, because now, he mentioned there's three different companies that's looking at. Well, a lot of those companies were in the room with them while he was in the mentoring program. And so not only do you have access to that one mentor that you've been paired with, but a lot of times you have access to the other 24, 25 mentors that are in that room. So they all share a shared responsibility, in, so to speak, with that particular protege.
So now how are you finding the mentors?
We look at a variety of places. One of the things that we do is we take a look at who is actually in Atlanta, who has diversity programs or some type of mentoring program. And then we want to go in and assist them with that. Some do not have a program at all. And so we'll help them build that program out and then bring them in, give them the tools that they need, tell them how what maybe they're even missing in their own supply chain as it relates to the businesses being available to them. There could be chambers. There could be the Georgia Department of Economic Development will assist us with some of the relationships that they have. Our SunTrust may know of a company because they're all kind of in the same corridors. This company does not have a program. Norfolk Southern is coming here. And so now we're garnering those relationships. So those are the things that we do. We have to stay active within the community and know who's in our backyard. And not only who's here, but NMSDC, the National Organization for the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council, they have a vast array of mentoring opportunities with the Macy's coming out of Ohio. And so it just depends who wants to be involved. We encourage everyone to be involved. Even with our supply chain people, with our proteges, a lot of times they'll have companies that will readily be alumni for them. Readily will do it. And so that's why we ask them to nominate them. If it's somebody in your supply chain that needs mentoring, the best person to mentor them would be you.
Exactly. And that's a mindset, though, right? Like, they're not even aware that, right, that's not even on their radar.
Exactly.
So now if somebody wanted to get involved, what are the coordinates for getting involved?
Well, what they want to do is go to our website, www.georgiampc.org. There you'll find the application for nominations. And then even if it's a protege, we always encourage a protege or a potential protege to go and ask one of those municipalities that you're doing business with, or a business entity, or a large corporation that you're doing business with, to actually mentor you. It just strengthens that relationship that's already there. And then once you do that, if they don't do it, then we'll ask the mentoring side, hey, who do you have in your supply chain that you would like to mentor? Mm-hmm. Because it's easier when it's organic. It's easier when it's already there. It's not forced. It's already working.
And Walter, what are the coordinates for Square Pack?
You can catch us on the web, www.squarepac.us. You can hit us 1-888-357-2688. Or you can stop by our facility at 7115 Oak Ridge Parkway, and that's located in Austell, Georgia. And we'll be happy to assist you with any of your material handling needs.
Now, what about any advice for other proteges?
I would say get involved. Your business is like your baby. No one wants their baby called ugly. But at some time, at some time, we need to take corrective, constructive criticism to be able to scale up. Just because we own a business, we don't have maybe the proper skills or tools to scale it where it needs to go. So if you're getting with a plethora of information, a pool of just people, not only corporations, you know, we're saying enterprises, but these are individuals who have taken their time, who are volunteering in most cases, who are spending time away from their family, who are serious about us becoming better as individuals. You know, we went through our protege session in 2016 with Georgia Power. They're on speed dial, you know. So I had a meeting where we had had a patent-pending solution we had designed for them, and I wanted to sell it to a manufacturer. They actually let us host the meeting on their facility. So how powerful is that? You're pitching your solution to a manufacturer with the power company having your back, saying, hey, we believe in this company. You guys should take this seriously. So they put you in situations that are just incredible, that you couldn't buy, you know, situations that you really have to pray for and work hard for.
Well, I mean, you make your own kind of luck in this, you know, right? You're out mm-hmm. there showing up, doing the work, mm-hmm. and you're listening, and you're appreciating them. So that it's like you said, relationships are at the heart of this, not transactions. Yes. You know, doing the work is table stakes nowadays. You yes. have to kind of have more value than
yes.
that.
Yes.
Now, Adam, for you, what do you need more of in terms of from a mentor, you know, putting on your mentor hat? What advice do you have for those people out there that are considering doing this at their enterprise level in terms of getting the most out of a mentorship?
Be prepared to work. You know, you think that as the mentor, it's like, well, I have the easy job. Right. I just get to lay down some knowledge and walk off. you have to be prepared to develop the relationship. Right. I can't just walk right up to Walter and go, hey, your idea sucks. You know, there has to be some trust. Right. There has to be some reciprocated trust between the two of us. I have to have demonstrated to him that I know what I'm talking about, or at least I have a good idea, or I have other subject matter experts behind me that I can bring to bear on their topic. Right. So you have to be prepared to put in the work on the relationship side of it. You need to be prepared to show the mentors why they should trust you, because they are. They're putting their baby in your hands. And now you're going to sit there and tell them their baby's ugly. And they've got to sit there and go, well, thank you. How do we make it beautiful?
And they built their baby to the point is.
Exactly.
And they think they figured some stuff out, too.
Yep. Exactly. So it's not just, hey, I have a great wealth of business knowledge in my mind and I wish to, you know, impart it upon the masses. It is, you've got to be ready for that relational side of it, too, and draw them in. build that trust, right? And then start having those hard conversations. And they're hard conversations to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had proteges tell me that I'm dead wrong, and then 8 months later go, yeah, you were right about that.
you might know some things.
Right. So, you know, have a little bit of a thick skin.
And
you know,
some humility, right?
And some humility. You've got to have some humility because Walter knows SquarePak. I don't know SquarePak.
Right.
Right. So I've got to remember that too. I don't walk in as this all-knowing, omniscient figure. Right. I've got to realize that he's got a business and he's successful for a reason. I'm just there to help tweak it.
And then from an enterprise standpoint, what type of enterprises kind of do you think that this program works best for? Because not every enterprise has the heart for this, I don't think.
It isn't. I think it doesn't. It's not really along a commodity line or that type of thing. I think it's. I'm going to go back to culture again. You know, we touched on that briefly. You have to, as the CEO owner, have a culture of, I embrace change. I embrace learning. I embrace, you know, knowing that I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a culture mindset. You need to sit back and look at the culture of your organization and go, do I promote learning? Do I promote change? Do I promote a challenge of ideas? And if you do, those are the type of organizations we want to come in. Mm-hmm. And challenge them and be not just that you're going to be challenged, challenge your mentor a little bit, right? If you think something doesn't sound right for your organization, right? Challenge the mentor.
Right.
And
you should be comfortable in pushing
got
back.
To be right?
It has to
be back. Yes.
It has to be kind of give and take. It can't be just like you're this wise person at the top of the mountain
right.
that, you know,
right.
espousing wisdom, right?
Right?
It has to be like you're learning from them at the end of the day as
every
well.
Every day. And that's, for me, that's a personal win. I mean, I learn so much from mm-hmm. these proteges. I mean, I really do. It's exciting to be around them. Their energy is amazing. And just learning their different ideas and kind of being challenged every day when you go to work is an amazing thing.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more from the SunTrust side mm-hmm. And getting involved.
Sure. So obviously SunTrust.com is the main site. That's the commercial site. We also have OnUp.com, which is our financial awareness site as well. So either one of those are fantastic resources. OnUp.com also has some small business resources there for financial learning as well, too, that I would highly recommend.
I just find this entire conversation so inspiring. As a small business person, I'm a number two guy in a small media company. We scratch and claw every day. We have victories some days. Some days we're like, why am I doing this? Why don't I go get a job? And I know in a moment we're going to visit with another small business person, and I suspect she feels the same way. But to know that there are enterprise-level organizations out there that are investing time, energy, resources in this, and then to watch someone like Walter come through the process, not only have you served him, but that's the kind of thing that just keeps paying forward. I don't know when, if, and how, but I suspect somehow, some way, Walter's going to find a way to invest in the community mm-hmm. beyond him. Right, Walter?
Without a doubt. And that's a great segue. We just, Saturday, we had our annual STEM workshop at our facility where we had 50-plus kids. The GMSTC was kind enough to donate book bags. We had donations from Lockheed Martin. What we were able to do is bring them into our facility. We want to promote science, technology, engineering, math. We need more engineers instead of baseball and basketball players. We need more scientists. And that is from showing youth at a young age that it's possible. I feel good to go into the inner cities and show that there's minorities that own manufacturing firms. When mm-hmm. I look at little kids, and like I did over this past weekend, to tell them, listen, you can be anything. They say, hey, you own this? I was like, yeah. They're like, wow. That wow was amazing because that wow is going to inspire them to do something. This may not be, in their eyes, this may look gigantic. To me, I'm still climbing. But right. if it inspires Tim, inspires a youth to go to the next level, then I did my job as a man.
And that's important work. And that's kind of, I think, at the heart of all of this work is to give people that maybe weren't aware of the opportunity and not even considered the opportunity to let them know there's a path.
Yes.
And it must be frustrating. I know it's frustrating for me to see a lot of kids, especially, self-select out of opportunities mm-hmm. that are mm-hmm. right at their fingertips, and they, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of resources at their disposal, and they're choosing not to participate. Mm-hmm. And it might be lack of awareness. It might be lack of a role model.
Or just confidence, playing confidence. Mm-hmm. And if you mm-hmm. see someone else doing it, like, I would be shy to maybe do this. Now I see you guys doing it. I'm encouraged.
Well, now you know anybody can do it.
Hey, it's all good. We can talk all day now. We can talk all day.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think one of the things and a major thing about this whole program, this whole conversation that we're having is impacting community, impacting community. It sometimes is direct for the protege. It's a direct impact, but the indirect impact is there as well. And that is part of the reason why this organization exists. Actually, it's called the Georgia Education Foundation. And a part of that is we're educating our business owners in multifaceted ways, from educating them in how they should go out and do radio interviews, how your marketing plan is set up, how to set up your financials correctly. Think about things, how tax laws affect you, how the government laws and things of that sort affect your business, and not only your business, but the communities that you're in. We're looking at a few things now that are going past our legislation that, that will affect some things. So we have to look at it from a holistic standpoint. That is the reason why the Georgia Mentor Protege Connection exists. That's why we are here and why we want to continue to grow this program and better our business relationships.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having y'all in the studio.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, and we're quite sincere. I mentioned it earlier in the program. Lee, we got to do a better job. We need to do what we can to continue to capture and share these stories, so we're up for that. We also don't know what we don't know, but we're going to try to find a way to capture and share more of these stories. Hey, stay with us a little bit. We're going to visit with one more guest, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us Marketing Coordinator with Discover Dunwoody. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Melanie Watson. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm so sorry you have to follow that act. That's going to be a tough one to follow. What do you feel like you learned in that segment?
I learned that it's always better to work together with other people, and you can accomplish God knows what when, you know, you just hit the grindstone.
So tell us a little bit about your organization. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
So I work with Discover Dunwoody, and we promote attractions, restaurants, retailers, the destination as a whole. I often tell people, you know, when you see the Visit Orlando or Visit Jamaica commercials, we do that for Dunwoody.
Now, how does one land an opportunity like that? Sounds like a dream job to me.
I think so. This is my first job out of college. I heard about it through Councilman Hennigan's blog spot. Actually, he posted it. I saw it. The tourism industry was not on my radar at all, but I'm here and I love it. And I get to do fun things like promote Dunwoody Restaurant Week.
So what's your favorite part?
Of the job or Restaurant Week?
Yeah.
Honestly, things like this. I never imagined that I'd be in front of the microphone. I'm used to being behind the scenes. But just being able to tell people about the cool things going on in Dunwoody that they may or may not have known about, residents to visitors to business people alike.
So tell us a little bit about what folks can expect from some of these upcoming events you're describing.
People can expect fun, growth, and a grand old time. Restaurant Week is what I'm here to talk about today, and they can expect deals and deliciousness for a whole week. It's from June 8th through the 15th, and we have a whole variety of restaurants. We have everything from Italian to Indian to Mexican and Mediterranean. There's truly something for everyone.
All right, so how does it work? So my wife and I, we eat every day. Like clockwork, and we enjoy cooking, actually, some too, but we do enjoy going out. So during this week, how would you recommend we make a plan of attack for this thing to get the most out of it?
So go to our website, which is DunwoodyRestaurantWeek.com, and you will see a list of all the participating restaurants. As of today, you will be able to see the menus as well, and you can go on there and plan your whole entire week. You can plan breakfast, lunch, dinner, pull up each individual menu, see what they have to offer, and then get out there and eat.
Now, how did this whole idea get started for Restaurant Week, do you know?
It started 8 years ago, and our restaurants reached out to us and communicated that June is their slowest time of year.
Wow.
Also, we have such a wide range of restaurants here. And so this is a cool way to really showcase all of the things that are going on during the summer. Kids are out of school. People want to eat out on patios. It's just, it's become such a great community event.
So restaurant week will come and go. So what are you going to do the other 51 weeks out of the year? Tell me a little bit about a day in the life of Melanie, if you would.
So we have restaurant week going on in June, and then in October we have Arts and Culture Month. At the end of the year, we focus on holiday shopping and how Dunwoody is a one-stop holiday headquarters. We have things going on all throughout the year. We really pride ourselves on being a resource for the community and being those experts. And while we're pitching and talking to visitors, we're a great community resource for residents, too, who may not realize what's in their backyard.
So is that the deal? You've got these two constituencies. You've got your local constituencies here, but are you also trying to market outside of the area and bring people to our community, yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want as many people in Dunwoody as possible. I know a lot of people are saying, leave Atlanta. We don't want you here because of the traffic.
Yeah, how do you feel about this? Leave? You want more people? Or?
Well, I don't mind because I spent a lot of time in Dunwoody. I was just at the Arts Festival that was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, so I'm a regular there, and I'm a big fan of the restaurants. Obviously, you don't get this body by not visiting the restaurant. So how do you see, are you seeing kind of more and more, I'm feeling, because I live here and I work here, I feel like the center of gravity of Atlanta is kind of moving north into this direction. Are you feeling the same thing?
Absolutely. People, I feel like years ago, downtown was the main hub. And now I feel like it's these northern suburbs like Dunwoody, where people realize that they can be just outside, 10 miles to be exact, and they can get in and out via MARTA, their car, walkability, things like that.
And then I know I'm really enjoying the walkability, like you said, that you were seeing kind of a change in the landscape of the area with a lot more sidewalks, a lot more kind of retail that's just on the street and things like that. Are you seeing that as a trend that's here to stay?
Absolutely. We're getting more and more trails. People, the way traffic is getting, people are happy to ditch their cars and just get out there and walk and enjoy the weather, the Georgia summer, and just get to where they're trying to go at a quicker pace and not have to sit in a line of cars.
And then you're seeing more influx of kind of arts. Like we talked about the Arts Festival, but there's a lot more activity year round, right? There's a lot of galleries and things like that.
Absolutely. And it's awesome because it's really broadening the things to do here. You can go enjoy an art exhibit. You can go participate theater, in a culinary class. You can do theater, things like that. So it just adds to more and more reasons for why you can go to a community like Dunwoody and just stay there and hit every single pocket of what there is to do.
And did you talk about some of the participating restaurants?
We did, but I want to come back to some of them because I want to dive in a little bit. But I'm curious, is there a farmer's market in the area?
Absolutely. Every Saturday at Rook Run Park.
Because that's something that my wife and I love to do this time of year is go to the farmer's market.
Yes.
So then we need to do that.
Absolutely. Every Saturday there's, you know, I think some people think a farmer's market is truly just, you know, a glorified vegetable stand. But the one in Dunwoody, there's so many cool things going on. There's often live music. There's face painting. You can bring the kids. They can run around. Brooklyn Park is so huge. And it's really the perfect spot for such a grand event like this.
I'll bet. Yeah, we did touch on very, very quickly some of the participating restaurants. But let's talk about them in a little more detail. One of them that stood out for me was a Mediterranean.
Yeah, so Grecian Euro. They participate every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're growing. They're opening up more.
Now, here's what you got to know. So Lee lives in the area, and he probably has been to every one of these restaurants that we're about to mention. So he's going to have more to say and ask about all of them. But yeah,
for
go
sure.
ahead.
Yeah, so we have a variety of everything from higher ends like McKendrick Steakhouse, Fogo de Chao, Del Frisco.
I was just at McKendrick's.
Yes.
See there, I told you.
Yes.
A few weeks ago.
I've been once, and Lee picked up the bill, or I did. Not somebody else picked up
the bill. And then Del Fresco, they were just in the studio
yes.
Recently.
They brought How come you don't have samples from them?
Yeah, really.
Didn't they bring some kind of butter cream cake thingy?
Their dessert.
Oh, my gracious.
Yes, and they're a new participant this year, so we're really excited
to have
them on
board. Well, they're pretty new. They've just recently opened.
We also have Parkwoods, which is located inside the newly renovated Crowne Plaza Atlanta Ravinia Hotel. They have an awesome menu. But we have everything from the higher end to the mom and pops and the fast casual dining that we all know and love. There's a lot of old local favorites on there, like East 48th Street Market, or you can go and get a great sandwich or some pasta. Or you can go to the newer places like Cinco Mexican Cantina at Perimeter Mall.
Now, Perimeter Mall has a bunch of new restaurants, right? Isn't there a new Korean?
Yes, Breakers Korean Barbecue. Unfortunately, they opened so recently that we weren't able to bring them on board for this year. I have not, but I have heard that
that's on my list.
I know. Mine too. We should go together.
Is this part of your responsibility, though? I know you have to take this job very seriously. You got to go check all these places out.
I know. It's really hard work, you know? Really stressful.
You need probably interns. We'll probably be lining up for your intern.
I want to be an intern. Absolutely.
So now, are you seeing any trend in restaurants? Are you seeing more like the bowl kind of restaurants that have those?
The poke restaurants?
Right, the poke and then the quinoa and the acai bowls and things like that.
We're starting to get a lot more healthy restaurants, which is always a good thing. I know, right?
Why not? What about any pizza concepts? Are you seeing different pizza concepts?
Yeah, we actually have a ton of pizza offerings this year in Restaurant Week. Pizza and Italian is if you love Italian, then you definitely need to come out next week. We have everything from create your own style to gourmet to, the traditional. We have deep dish with Nancy's Pizza coming on board this year.
All right, I got to interject here because I am now a newly crowned subject matter expert in Italian food. I just got back from Italy Friday night.
Yeah.
So Chianti, when you order the Chianti, you want the Chianti Classico. It's got a black rooster on it. It has to meet some very specific criteria to be a Chianti Classico. It has to have 80% Sangiovese grapes. Or
wow.
Something.
That's good to know.
You probably did not know that.
I did not.
And it took me several bottles of both Classico and non-Classico to arrive at
that. A lot of studying.
Do your research.
Exactly.
That's important. What about sandwich shops? I know there's some sandwich shops opening around.
Yes, we have Big Dave's Cheesesteaks, which if you love.
Baby, that sounds good.
Yes.
Where is that at?
It's off Winter's Chapel Road. The owner is from Philly, so they are truly authentic.
Okay. And that's kind of the north end of Dunwoody, right?
Yes. And then we have East 48th Street in the Village, going back to Italian, because who doesn't love that? There's Vitality Bowls, Superfood Cafe. They're on the healthier side.
Right. In the Village, that Wright's Gourmet closed, and then now that's going to be Breadwinner. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. Breadwinner is one of my favorites.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's good for the city.
I know. We still miss Wright's, though.
I know. That's been around forever.
Yeah.
And then, and you mentioned the mall. The mall has a bunch of restaurants there. I don't know if I'm sure they're not all taking part, but the mall is a great kind of center of gravity for Dunwoody.
Absolutely. There's Cinco. There's also Max's Coal Oven Pizzeria.
Right.
You have the Capitol Grill right there, Seasons 52.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you can, hop to one for an appetizer, hop to the other for the entree, hop to
one. Well, speaking of that, let's go back to strategy. Because this thing really is like a week long.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we attack this thing? We just hit one a night?
Start Saturday. June 8th.
You need a punch card. And if you punch, five, you get another something.
There you go.
You have to start Saturday. Start.
Or you can't get to them.
I know. Start at breakfast, then go to lunch, then go to dinner. Don't miss a day. You can fit them all. It's 29, but
it's doable.
If you bear down, you can really get it.
Between you, Abby, and Max, y'all could get this done.
I think we can do it. So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, because these are deals. This isn't just like it's nice to go to these places. They're offering it like super deals for the participating restaurants.
You can go and eat somewhere for as low as $10 at some of these places.
Right. This is like a great opportunity to really try these places out.
Absolutely. Especially the higher end restaurants that you may not get a chance to eat at as frequently.
And some of them have lunch and dinner specials, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just lunch only.
Absolutely. Some offer lunch and dinner. Some do just dinner. Some do just lunch. So it's really, know, you can tailor it to your schedule and bring people in as much as you want.
So now, where should a person go to learn more to see which are the exact restaurants and what are the deals?
You should go to www.dunwoodyrestaurantweek.com. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Discover Dunwoody. And the hashtag for Dunwoody Restaurant Week is hashtag Dunwoody Restaurant Week and hashtag Dine in Dunwoody. So if you visit any of those places that I just mentioned, you're in a great spot to know what's going on.
Good stuff, Melanie. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you. I'll see you guys next week.
You know it.
Absolutely, you will.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.